Welcome to the O Woman Podcast, where we discuss so many things related to women's sexuality, bodies, thoughts, and lives. We'll talk about everything from our relationships to our orgasms to our children and our ovaries, and we'll share outstanding experiences and ordinary ones. I'm Emma, and a big open welcome to you. Thanks for joining me for the show today. This is episode 74 of the O Woman Podcast. And just like yesterday and the day before's episodes, we're continuing the series that we've started that's on your sexual history. A look at understanding ways that experiences and feelings and things that have happened to you influence your understanding of yourself, your sexual health, your sexual being, your sexual identity. And thinking about ways to kind of just get down to that deep spot and look at rewriting some of our sexual history or starting a fresh history if that's something we need to do, or building on our old sexual history and making it even better than before. Today's topic is, well, yesterday we talked about how negative sexual experiences shape you. So today I want to talk about how negative relationship experiences shape you. And of course, this concept is not at all separate from how negative sexual relationships shape you. But I wanted to try to divide them up a bit because I wanted to focus, yesterday I focused a little bit more on the physical aspects of negative sexual relationships. And this time I'm going to focus more on the more emotional, maybe, or verbal aspects of that. So they most likely are going to be sexual relationships because it has to do with probably a romantic relationship you're in, and in most cases you're having sex or experiencing some kind of sexuality with that person. So I kind of want to focus today on an experience that one of my friends has had in her life, and she said that I could explain this on the air. You know, I'm not going to say her name or anything like that, just because she didn't want me to. But an experience that she had that is an emotional relationship that she had for years with a guy, and she moved to a new city to be with him, to start a new life with him, and she felt grateful to have met him at first because she felt that he was a really great partner in her coming to a sexual understanding of her body in a different way. And she still believes that that's true, that if she hadn't met him, she wouldn't be really where she is today sexually, because he encouraged her to explore other things, which she realized were really good for her. And his, kind of in her own words, his sexual adeptness influenced her to really want to understand her own body, so that when they were together, she would be able to say, oh, I like this, I like that, I don't like this, so that they could really experience a heightened sexuality and pleasure together. But after years of this relationship that she, of course, committed her heart and put her soul into, he somewhat nonchalantly let her know that he was sleeping with a much younger person in their own house where she lived with him, and didn't seem to give a rat's ass that she knew, and kind of expected that she should just deal with it when he told her. And the person that he was sleeping with, I mean, that's still not, no matter what, it's not cool if to be cheating on someone. Come on. But beyond the fact, he was cheating on her with a person who literally had said, I just want to find a person to have sex with, and that's it. That was like all his attraction to this other person was I just want to have sex with another person. And that's what the cheating girl had said to him. So it was this weird, soulless, shallow, bullshitty excuse for infidelity, which is always a bullshitty thing, no matter what. But, and this scarred her so badly because she had, you know, come up with a life in her head of what they were going to be and how they were going to be together and how excited she was to have found new expressions of her sexuality through just having known him, and it motivating her to get to know her body more. And so, as everybody who's ever experienced loving someone and feeling betrayed by them knows, it was heartbreaking. It was soul-wrenching and gut-wrenching and horrible. And I think she's so brave for having experienced it and having told me her story and having experienced it and dealt with it the way she did, because she did not run from how upset she was. And I think that's one thing that women especially try to do. We try to just escape how sad things are. And I think you always have to find the best way to cope with things in your own life, so that you can get through the day and you can keep trucking, you know, keep moving. But she never denied how much she cared about him. She never threw away how it was important to her, their relationship. She just had to find a way to reframe what that relationship really meant to her. And I think that's one of the hardest things that women do, or that women have to do, when they come to terms with something that they thought would be forever and it ends. Is learning how to still be grateful for what happened, but just not to assume it's going to be a benefit throughout the course of your life. Just know that it taught you something in the moment, and even though it's nasty and horrible and you don't want to experience it, realizing that it happened for some reason, and even if years later you can't see why, you're going to get there. You're going to be able to understand. I know in my own case, I had a boyfriend. He was my first love. You know how hard those first loves are. And I was an adult at the time. And so was he. Pretty young adult, like 20, something like that. And, well, Lord, I'm almost 30. That was a long time ago, wasn't it? And, you know, normalist relationship. I guess I should have known going into it that he kind of tended to be a bit sad on his own, and that I kind of carried him through his emotions, because I was generally very happy and jovial, and I just replaced his emotions for him. When he was sad, I would make him happy enough somehow, which never works in a relationship. You have to be happy enough on your own and then happen to be happy enough together at the same time. But I remember how difficult it was for 2 or 3 years getting over him. And I'm not even sure at a certain point if it was really getting over him anymore. I think it was just getting over the idea that love does not always last forever. And the person you think was the right one for you simply because you love them isn't always the right person. That isn't always the way it's going to be. And I think it's a young person's admirable naivete that makes them think that. I don't think it's a stupid, oh, like a, you're naive in a stupid way. I just think it's, you haven't experienced the hard stuff yet when you're younger, and you never know. But I just remember how difficult it was for me getting over that, and how now I'm still grateful for that relationship, because I realize how fantastic my husband is now, how he's so perfect, how, I mean, you know, no one's perfect, but in the way that is for me, he's just endlessly kind and understanding and caring, and all of the negative things that the old boyfriend I had, all of those traits he had, they don't exist in Jason. And I didn't even consciously say, I'm not going to pick a person that's this and this and this and this, but I was able to choose the perfect person for me, and he chose me at the same time, you know, Jason. So I'm so grateful for the experience, because it reminds me how lucky I truly am at a certain point, realizing, first of all, that you got through such a heartbreak, but second of all, the person you have now is a million times more appropriate for your life, and better and kinder and more loving and wonderful than the one you've had before. But that being said, it's hard to get to that place sometimes, especially if you haven't found another person to experience love with. I remember being so scared for years that I would never get to love anyone again, or that I would never be loved by anyone again. And I remember thinking, that's going to waste so much potential that I feel like I have in the world. I feel like I have so many good things to give someone in a loving relationship. And at a certain point, I just kind of gave up. And not really in a sad way, in a, I'm just not going to look anymore. I am going to focus on being happy without thinking about that. And I think partially that sort of zen letting go of being worried about being loved made me lose attention that made it more obvious that, hey, I am lovable. But it's hard to get to that place. You can't really tell someone that, because they go, oh, fuck you. You don't know what you're talking about. Even if you've been where I've been, I'm not feeling that way now, and I'm just heartbroken. It's horrible. So it's really hard to give that advice. So it's kind of something you realize in retrospect, and maybe if you're a lucky person, you'll realize it in the moment and be able to move forward. I don't know. But all of that is to say that negative relationship experiences, though they seem to interact with our understandings of the world, maybe in a more subtle way, they may maybe gradually, sort of subtly shifted our understanding of love and people, they're still there affecting us. And until you can try to focus on how you've been affected, you might not ever really be able to, quote unquote, get over some of those things that are hard to deal with. Being betrayed in a relationship by being cheated on, or just being left out in the cold in a certain way emotionally. So, you know, having a nasty breakup and someone telling you, yeah, well, you were never good in bed anyway. Or, yeah, well, you're a selfish lover. That kind of thing can be scarring because it's someone that you once trusted so many things in your life with. And they've determined that you're not good at this, or you're a bad this, or you're this and that. And that can be really scarring and hurtful, even if you find someone else who doesn't feel that way. Even if, regardless of that, you've tried to cope with it and told yourself, that is not true. I am this and this and this. I'm not a bad person. I'm not this. It's still hard to reconcile that sometimes when someone who used to be someone you trusted more than anyone in the world now is someone who is hurting you in a horrible way. Also, being in a relationship that's emotionally abusive, I mean, on a long-term scale, someone telling you that you're not good enough or you're not pretty enough. Someone that I know was in an abusive relationship for a really long time, verbally and emotionally, and it was really hard for her to figure out how to be, quote-unquote, normal, according to herself, in a relationship, to be able to be herself without being worried what the guy was thinking. To be able to wear what she wanted without thinking that the guy was going to tell her to wear something different, because that's what she was used to before. So you can never say that an experience is over. Its legacy carries on. And knowing that it's there and dealing with it is the best thing you can do for yourself. Ignoring it is not going to make it go away. And when you meet it kind of head on, and you at least consciously focus on it, know what's happening, know why you're feeling that way, eventually you're going to be able to rewire your memories of the way your brain is supposed to work when you think about something like that. So for example, you know, the neurons in your brain, they're firing so many times. You're going to get used to thinking, oh, I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough if you've been told that a lot. But if you can stop yourself halfway through that thought and say, wait a minute, even if I don't believe it in the moment, I'm going to say to myself, that's bullshit. I am good enough. Starting somewhere like that, simply just saying it to yourself out loud, requires that your brain hears it and processes it, and you're going to eventually start to realize it and believe it. You have to start with yourself, and you have to start on the inside out by working from the ground up in a way that isn't fun, but reminding yourself, hey, I am lovable. I am worth it. Being cheated on was something I experienced. It's not who I am. And I am afraid to trust someone. So when you go into a relationship and you're scared to trust someone, think about why. And think about if you're fearful of this relationship because this new person you're dating, you think maybe they're really not trustworthy, or because you're used to being afraid of being hurt. And how can you try to make it less about the past and more about moving forward and trying to reforge an idea of what is the best for you? What is the best relationship for you? What is the best way to deal with someone that you potentially want to love, or you already do love, but you're holding back a little bit? I feel like emotions are eternal, and maybe someone would disagree with that. And I don't think, you know, if I'm sad right now, I'm not saying you're going to be sad forever. You can totally change that. You can be an upset, depressed person for 20 years of your life and then decide to be different and change and work on being different. But that doesn't mean those emotions never happened, and it doesn't mean that those emotions never stamped themselves into your memory to some degree, because something can trigger you and make you think that way again just in the moment. If you're realizing, wait a minute, I am realizing that I'm feeling this way because of an experience that I had in the past, and there's kind of a parallel to right now. So to me, emotions are endless. So for us to ignore them is ridiculous, because they carry on. They have a legacy, and you just have to think about them. You don't have to feel them, but you have to analyze what's going on with yourself. I feel like I've kind of said the same thing a couple times, but this is just, to me, so important, because I feel like this is where a lot of women get stuck, is they allow themselves to repeat that same narrative that is a negative emotional narrative in their mind. And a lot of the times it's repeated because they've heard someone say it to them, or they've heard their father say it to their mother. You're ugly. You're not good enough. You're not special enough. You're selfish. You're whatever. The bottom line is, you are good enough for yourself, for someone else. If you have things you want to work on, that's a different story. But somebody else doesn't get to tell you if you have value. You are innately valuable. You are born with value. You will always have it. And you have to find the right person and the right experience that's going to remind you and someone else that, duh, you have it. It's just about reminding yourself that you're important and you're special, because you know you are. You are. So I want to thank you again for listening today to the show. I hope the last few episodes have started kind of a good thought process in your mind about getting excited about moving ahead in your sexual understanding about yourself. That's what it's all about. That's where it's at. So thank you so much for listening. Make sure you check out the Facebook page, O Woman Podcast on Facebook. The website is owomanpodcast.com. Check out the past episodes there. Check out some of the resources. You can click on any of the tags to find episodes about certain topics maybe you're more interested in. And I love talking with you guys. I thank you for listening. I encourage you also to go to iTunes and subscribe and rank some of the episodes, please. That would be great, so that I could get some feedback and Amazon could get, not Amazon, iTunes could get some feedback. That would be great. That would be helpful to me and ultimately helpful to you. So once again, thanks so much for listening, and I'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Okay, bye.